Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all the ibadat that we do, the acts of worship. And if we pay a little bit of attention here, then all of the ibadat, all of the acts of worship, they are all zahir. And we implement these acts of worship externally, physically, zahir, zahiri. For example, the head of all of the ibadat, or you can say the main form of worship, salah. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to pray salah, come to his home and to pray salah. Alhamdulillah, we should be grateful to Allah many times over. So what ibadah have we done? You will have seen that we did takbir, ruku, bowing, sajda, prostration, tilawa, recitation, and then prostration again. Our whole body is moving, mustaqil, continuously. The whole body, sometimes we'd get up, sit down, bow, prostration, move. So our physical parts of our body are moving, functioning. In the same way, we have all of the other forms of worship. For example, somebody who fasts, physically is fasting, hungry, hands, he's moving with his body, he's hungry, stomach, function. Let's take Hajj. And Hajj is a physical ibadah that we have to do with all the parts of our body. And we fulfill all of the different parts and phases in zakah. We have to use our hands and we calculate with our brains and give the money. So these ibadat that we see and that we do are physical ibadat, and we implement them physically with the limbs and parts of our body. So that's why we call them zahiri ibadat. Now when this same ibadah, for example, we just prayed salah. And when insan, the human being, when the human being's ruh, the spirit, is affected and improved, the effect of salah on the ruh, when the effect of salah reaches to the soul and to the heart, then this ibadah is transformed. So it's salah and now it's transformed. Before it was a zahiri ibadah, physical, and then it becomes a reality ibadah, a genuine ibadah, a genuine form of worship. What a big difference. Big difference. What? Before we called it zahiri, because from the hands and the forehead and the body we're praying salah. But as soon as the salah touches our soul and our heart, and the positive benefits of salah start to permeate through into the ruh, soul, into the qalb, then we will call this the genuine, real form of ibadah, worship. What a great point here. Yeah? So the real fast, the real hajj, the real zakah. Yeah, have we ever said this? I'm going to do real hajj. I'm going to pray salah in a proper form. Oh, I prayed salah. Oh, I kept the fast. Oh, I went on hajj. Alhamdulillah. We should be grateful to Allah that we have the opportunity to do this. Like I am grateful for the salah we just prayed. Yeah, we prayed salah. Have you prayed? Yes, I've prayed. Have I prayed? Have you prayed? So let's question each other. Have we established salah? Have we implemented salah? Was my salah the physical salah or the reality of salah, the genuine form? Let's justify it to ourselves, because tomorrow we have to be presented in the court of Allah. This salah that we just prayed Maghrib and that we just tied it up, put it into our pocket and say, yeah, I've prayed. But this will go in the court of Allah. I will be presented in front of Allah. The date, what's the date today? The 27th, 29th of April, the time will come, the mention of the masjid, the town, the city, the country, everything, this recitation we just did now, and Imam Sahib recited, and everything will be presented, the whole sketch will be printed out and brought in front of our eyes, that this was the salah you prayed on that day, in this place, at this time. Allah will say, is this the salah you prayed? Was this a real salah, genuine, for acceptance, or just physical act of worship? And then we will be asked. And we will need to answer that, what is the quality of the salah I've just prayed? Is there any quality in the salah? And Allah says in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Can there be any greater guidance than this? Allah says, successful, O believers. Successful indeed are the believers who are humble in their prayers. Salah will give deliverance. Salah will give success. Salah will give Jannah. Salah will take a person close to Allah. Salah is the afdal, greatest pillar of Islam. Salah was the coolness of my Habib's eyes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala says, salah is everything. It's the success criteria for the hereafter. Salah, Allah Ta'ala said, I gave you 50 initially, and then I didn't want to put burden on you that your whole, I didn't want a second of the day to pass without salah. But what could I do? My Habib, he interceded on your behalf. Then I reduced the 50 to 5, but still you have the reward of the 5. What a great action. Salah. But Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. But which salah will give you success? Which salah will give you the happiness on the, in the hereafter? The real salah, the humble salah. Humble salah, sincere salah. Ulema sitting, scholars ask them, is this the meaning? Allah Ta'ala says, this physical salah you're praying, the hands and face and forehead and body and arms and feet, this salah will not give us deliverance, acceptance. Only that salah, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The hakiki salah, the real salah, that is affecting our ruh, our qalb, our soul, our heart. This is what will give us success. Now, I didn't have that salah, the humble salah. MashaAllah, you are pious and your salah is good and humble. But tell me, how many percentage of the ummah today is praying salah that their heart, their ruh, their soul is affected positively? I will say that. If I say, okay, my salah is like this, and you say, is it? Your salah is on that platform? Humble? I say, yeah, my salah is genuine, it's good. It's the salah of khashi'un. Yeah? I'm claiming this at the moment, yeah? And then let's see now the difference between my claim and reality. I'll give you an example. That in zahiri salah, external bodily salah, and the real salah, the humble salah, what's the difference? How can somebody make a false claim and say that his salah is successful? Beautiful. Or you can say like a different type of example has come into my mind through which hopefully we will understand. There's a person sitting down to eat. He picks up the morsel of food, nice food, delicious, tasty food has been cooked, put onto the food man. Picks up the morsel, brings it to his mouth, and he moves his mouth like as if he's chewing, but he doesn't swallow the food. Carries on doing this for 10 minutes. You're sitting around him, saying, MashaAllah, he's eaten the food. He's eaten. Yeah, so he's put it in the mouth, chewed it, but then his health is degrading and going down. You say, huh? Why is this person losing energy and getting tired, easily exhausted? He eats food. He was eating just now. His health is going downhill. He sits down regularly in front of us. He's eating, and well, he takes the morsel of food to his mouth and chews it inside, but he doesn't swallow it through the throat down into the stomach. That food hasn't gone into the stomach. No vitamins, no blood energy, no glucose, no sugar. Whatever happens inside the digestive system, nothing's happened. Nothing. So has he eaten food? What will we say? No, he hasn't eaten. This person hasn't eaten. So we pray salah. We pray salah. And he says, he's praying salah. You know, he prays 5 times a day. He comes to the front row. He gives adhan sometimes. He gives the iqama. And everybody respects him. He's a musalli. He prays salah. Isn't it? Yes, so because he can see, you can see physically praying. But what is the quality of that salah? Is there a link with Allah? He's praying salah and he's carrying out acts of immodesty. Praying salah and lying at the same time. Praying salah and doing all consuming haram actions. And praying salah and consuming haram. Praying salah, he doesn't know halal, lawful, unlawful. What's unlawful, what's lawful. So he's just like that man who takes the food, puts it in the mouth and rotates the jaw, but not eating, not taking the food down, not benefiting from the food. So that salah, which is real, genuine, what will be the effects? Where do we see the effects? On the ruh and the qalb. They permeate the soul and the heart. So the real salah will affect the akhlaq of a human being. His actions will be quality, pure, clean. His whole body internally, his soul, his heart, his mannerism, his behavior, his approach to life will be quality, sincere. This is the effect of salah. Just like the morsel of food goes through down into the stomach, gives energy. Somebody's got genuine salah, then the color of his life will change. Just like you eat food, you get healthy. And if you pray salah, the real salah, without any wrong actions, then that salah will improve your akhlaq, your actions. You won't get angry, you won't be fake in your actions, you won't have pride, you won't lie, you won't have haram in the life, there won't be immodesty, and you're not giving a speech to that person. So what is correcting and improving that person? What is salah? Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has announced in the Quran that my salah has one effect. What is the effect of the genuine salah? It will prevent the person from acts of immodesty. Salah will do what? It will prevent a person from acts of immodesty, from wrongful acts, wrong actions. This is the effect of Salah. And Allah Ta'ala, if He orders somebody to do something and He implements that, then that will happen. If Allah says this is cold, then that water will be cold. If Allah says night, become day, day. If Allah says to the rose that fragrance, then the fragrance will be there. And if there's no fragrance in the rose, we say it's not a rose. Because Allah has said that every rose has its sign, the sign, the smell of the fragrance of the rose. So then it's not right. And the person says, oh, it's cool, but the water's not cool. And that night, there cannot be night if there's no darkness. So there cannot be no salah if there's immodesty in the actions. That's not salah. That's just moving the body. Allah has said that the inherent quality and sign of salah is that a person who prays salah, the first sign of that person's life, no immodesty, no lying, no fraud, no cheating. Because this is the quality, the sign of a successful salah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So for this reason, salah zahiri, external salah, it doesn't have any effect on our lives. It has no effect, no positive effect on our character and manners. But the real salah is not the bodily salah, it's the genuine salah which goes and touches the soul and the heart of a person. It makes a human a proper human being. And that is the person who's a musalli. If you want to see someone who prays salah, is he a person who's a namazi? Does he observe salah? Then how do you realize if he is genuine? Not from the sign of prostration on his forehead, but from his character, from his akhlaq, from his mannerism, behavior, character. Because that's the sign of salah. A person who prays salah cannot be immodest. A person who prays salah cannot commit fraud. A person who prays salah cannot deceive. A person who prays salah never pester anybody else. These are the qualities and signs of salah. Subhanallah, massive ibadah, massive action. That's why Allah Ta'ala has given a high grade reward for people who observe salah correctly. The person whose salah is correct, is everything is correct. So we don't have that salah. We don't pray that salah because it doesn't touch us internally. Alhamdulillah. Those people whose akhlaq is high, whose actions are good, alhamdulillah, you will see in their life that their life is full of noor and good actions. Then, this is the effect of his good salah. He's praying salah correctly. And this is who we call a person who's regular in salah. Not that Allah Ta'ala hasn't given us the tawfiq. It's not just that we have the ability, oh, we're praying physically salah, but I don't have that feeling and effect on my heart and soul that I leave salah. No, if my salah is weak, then I need to strengthen it. That's the reason for our discussion that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that salah will give you falah. It will give you salah success. And it will be the real salah that will give you success. Now, the salah that we are praying, if it's not given us that quality and sign in our ruh and our heart, then we need to improve our salah. Not leave it, not discard it. For example, I have a cold. I don't cut my nose off, do I? Or if I earache, do I cut my ear off? No. The nose, I have to cure it. The ear, I have to cure it. The eyes, I have to cure them. So if my salah has not reached to the high level, or to the level that needs to be maintained, that it stops me from immodesty or sins, or the actions that Sharia has said are unlawful. Not that I pray salah and I do haram, I pray salah and I go against Allah Ta'ala orders. That's not salah. Salah is such an action, alhamdulillah, it hasn't even been completed and his character has reformed and improved. Salah stops a person from doing bad. That's the quality of a real salah. Now we need to see that my salah, alongside, in parallel with salah, I'm doing bad actions, implementing not good deeds. Allah says, this is not good, that you come towards me and you pray salah, and then you come to me on the day of judgment and show me your salah, and then you have nothing to show for it. It's better that you improve your salah. Allah says, to which maqam? To which height? So that it reaches to your ruh and your heart, stops you from bad deeds, from unlawful actions. This is what we need for success. Yes, that we come here regularly, we gather together for dhikr, to remember Allah, we sit down, we remember Allah, we go to the company of a wali Allah, we make effort, tasawwuf. The objective of tasawwuf, of all of the effort that we are making, is to improve our salah. Remember this, to correct our salah. Everyone is trying for this. Everyone is trying for this. To improve the physical and spiritual parts of our life. So I can get to the genuine salah. We do dhikr of Allah, we take it as help, we take the company of the wali of Allah, we do dua. The Allah correct my salah. The objective of doing dhikr is to improve our salah through the remembrance of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says that, for example, I go to the akhirah and say, Allah, I'm a dhakir, I did your dhikr, I didn't need to pray salah correctly. No, no, no. The first question that will be asked on the day of judgment will be with regards to the faraid, the compulsory actions. That's why I'm speaking about salah. But all of our salahs, in the same way, Ramadan's coming, 30 fasts, Allah says, bring your fasts on the day of judgment, and they are all fake, not genuine, physical actions, not spiritual. Allah will say that I elevated the fast to the high platform. Allah says, I am the reward for your fast. Yes, that you stop eating, drinking for the sake of Allah, making effort physical from morning to night, you stay hungry. And we say, oh, I have fasted Allah for you, but I commit all of the sins under the sun, and I think that Allah Ta'ala will accept this on the Day of Judgment. No, just like Salah has to be on the higher platform, acceptable standard, same way Allah says that there's qualities. When you fast correctly, those the signs of a completed fast should come into your life, and we need to present that to Allah on the Day of Judgment. So to get to this maqam, my friends, we need to make effort, proper effort. We need to take all of those paths that will give us the success in the hereafter. So if I say, no, I pray regularly, I pray 5 times a day, and I fast in Ramadan, and I've been on Hajj, and I'm successful, I don't need to do any more. But we need to ask ourselves the question, will all of this be accepted in the court of Allah on the Day of Judgment? That has my salah reformed and improved me internally? Because when a person improves, he improves from his heart or her heart, not externally. Person doesn't change, improve externally. If somebody wants to be good, then by doing tabligh, he won't be corrected. Rather, we have to reform and improve that person's heart. When that person's heart improves, the life of the heart improves, then that person automatically, physically becomes better. Everything of that person, that's why we do dhikr of Allah, we try to purify our heart, we try to make our heart better, enlighten the heart, bring spirituality into the heart, closeness to Allah in the heart, so that when I pray salah, although I'm praying physically, but my heart is attached to Allah. One moment in the company of the wali of Allah is better than 100 years of ibadah. This is a very great verse recited by Hazrat Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayh, that a small amount of time, little bit of ibadah performed in the company of the wali of Allah is better than individual worship. 100 years of individual worship is better to be in the company of the wali of Allah, the teacher. The teacher is the point. Why? Because when a person is the company of a teacher and he does ibadah, even if it's a little bit, then that ibadah is genuine. It's not physical ibadah, it is spiritual from the depth of the heart. That's why it's recommended that go seek the paths that take a person to Allah. Seek those paths and methods that do mujahidah, and make efforts that we need to then transform our physical external deeds to spiritual for acceptance. This doesn't mean when you go to a sheikh, to a wali of Allah, to become a wali, or I'm trying to become a wali. No, look at your salah. You'll be asked about your salah. You won't be asked on the Day of Judgment, were you a wali? Which karamat did you exercise in the world and show to people? How many people ran after you as a wali? How many people recognize you as a pious person? That won't be asked on the Day of Judgment. You'll be asked on the Day of Judgment, show your salah, demonstrate your fast. Allah will say, did you do this for me? Is there khashi'un? Is there humbleness in your deeds? Is there sincerity in your deeds? So we need to be very careful, my friends, very careful. A moment in the company of the wali of Allah, a moment of ibadah is in the company of the wali of Allah is better than 100 years of individual worship. So we should try this, do dua, make effort. Can we get the company of a wali of Allah? Make niya first, intention. I'm going to the company of this pious person so I can improve myself as a person, learn from him, improve my character, make my salah better, my fast, then take the sohbet. Mawlana Rumi Ramta stated here, a person who makes intention, goes to the company of a sheikh, with the intention that he wants to become better, then one moment, second in the company of that teacher is better than his whole life ibadah, all his lifelong tahajjud and salah. But comparing to that, one moment in the company of the wali of Allah is better, more valuable, more precious. Because that will become the means for that person's forgiveness. There's no showing off. It's touching our ruh, our qalb, our heart. So we need to make effort. We need to really understand and make intention. No, we shouldn't give up our hands up and say, oh, I give up, now I surrender. No. Allah says, I've given you the method to improve yourself. Allah won't say, oh, did you bring your salah without effect? And I say, Allah, I prayed salah. I didn't know that I could improve my salah. Allah say, no, I've told you in the Quran. Can there be any greater message than this? Tell me, open. Openly Allah Ta'ala is communicating to us that there is success, but success is in which salah? Which is the real salah, the genuine salah. And me and you know that is our salah hakiki, is it reality? I can't say anything, but we know if we analyze ourselves that my ibadah, is it real? Is it genuine, sincere, humble, or is it not this? Is this not the case that if I pray salah correctly, I won't lie, I won't backbite against anybody, I won't say bad against anybody, I won't degrade anybody, and from my body the question doesn't arise that my body will carry out anything which is a sin, because salah prevents a person. It's the sift, it's the quality, because Allah has given us something which is nurani. This is not ibadah. That this ibadah has spirituality. And the Allah Ta'ala says, all of the ibadah I gave on the earth, I revealed them on the earth. while the Prophet ﷺ was there. But the salah was given whilst Rasulullah ﷺ was in the heavens. And salah is effective. Should stop for some bad. We do salah 5 times a day, sujood, prostration. We come to the masjid, they give adhan, iqamah. Then we go back to the dunya and look at bad things and we do evil actions or sins. And then we say, no, it's okay. I'm fine. I'm praying salah at the same time. No, we are deceiving ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves. We need to analyze our lives with an honest heart. With an honest heart, that really this salah that I've prayed, is this a reality of salah? That, okay, I'll say, yes, my salah is good. It's good quality. So I need to see that after this salah prayed, am I going to carry out a sin? Then I'll realize if my salah is good. If I see that after I pray salah, my life is improving, it's going towards the akhirah, then alhamdulillah, my salah is being improved. My dhikr is successful. My sohbat, my company is successful. So let's do dua to Allah that this is a serious subject, very serious point that we need to understand, that we are making effort in life and we don't earn anything. That's not good, is it? What's the point of that? And shaitan, he keeps on patting us on our back. No, you're fine. It's okay to do this. If this was about just carrying on, then in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala wouldn't give us this message. That you need to improve yourself, that you cannot get falah success unless your ibadat become genuine, instilled with humbleness and sincerity. So brothers, keep making effort to improve ourselves. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that we transform our dhahiri salah to spiritual salah, acceptable salah. Ameen.